Do you watch Game Grumps?
Yeah, I knew exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my god, I laughed so hard at that episode. Funny joke.
Sonata. Game Grumps. I knew.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time you're listening to us. You are listening to the Drunken UX Podcast. This is episode number 17 for August something or other 2018. I am your host, Michael Feenan.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Hill. Thanks for joining us tonight. Oh, you can connect with us on the Facebook and the Twitters, /DrunkenUX. And also on drunkenux.com/Slack to come chat with us on Slack.
Come make fun of us. Tell us. Come give us news. We do real-time overview every Wednesday. Round up articles and stories and posts and tutorials and things from around the web. And if there's something that you've been reading that you found particularly helpful, drop by Slack and let us know what it is. We've also got a contact form on the website. You can go there. Whatever the case may be, let us know. We'd love to hear about any of that. Episode 17 of the Drunken UX Podcast is brought to you by your friends and ours at NewCloud. NewCloud is an interactive mapping company. They do cool stuff, illustrations, things like that.
Wait, mapping?
You can check mapping.
Aren't we doing something about maps tonight?
No. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Sorry.
You can check out NewCloud at nucloud.com/drunkenUX. That is nucloud.com/drunkenUX. Did we hit everything? Is that all the pre-show notes? I don't know anymore.
What are you drinking, Michael?
Drinking. Yeah. I keep forgetting what we actually named the show. this evening I am keeping it simple with just some Angry Orchard hard cider.
Nice.
Just the plain what is it? The crisp apple or whatever.
I got to try some.
Although
of that.
I do really love their summer honey. They were out of stock today, but that is a good favorite, happy favorite of mine.
Cool. I'm trying yet another margarita. I keep buying different kinds of tequila to find ones that work really well with making margaritas. And this time I've got a Sauza Commemorativo Quila Añejo, which I think just means aged tequila, like barrel aged. And I forget the margarita mix is just like generic stuff they sell at the liquor store. Pretty good.
No, Añejo tequila is where it's at. I'm not a huge tequila drinker, but I've got a bottle of Añejo. It's called Tres Mujeres.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's good. I've had that.
Oh, man.
I feel kind of like I shouldn't be mixing this with margarita mix. Like, you should just be drinking it straight, and I feel kind of bad for mixing it. So,
given what that bottle cost me, I don't mix that with anything.
Yeah,
enjoy it as it is.
I wouldn't have mixed my Grand Mayan, but this is like $20 or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, man, no, I think it's a 375 milliliter bottle, so it's like a half-size bottle, and it was like $60. it was crazy expensive, but, I mean, that's scotch prices, basically. But, man, it is, because when you drink like a Jose or something like that, you know, it's very artificial to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's very sweet and syrupy. Man, this has got just this beautiful light oaky flavor that the barrel aged component of that comes through so nice.
I'll have to try that.
I'll make that be maybe episode 18. I'll break that bottle out. I've been hitting it very slowly. I've been trying to make it last. So,
excellent.
Let's see. Oh yeah. Evernote guys, this is sort of interesting to me anyway. Evernote has rebranded itself again.
What are they? Forever Note? Or Never Note?
I wish rolling my eyes could be heard on the microphone.
Face with rolling eyes emoji.
Oh my god. And maybe I should be nicer. I shouldn't be saying rebranding again, blah blah blah. I've used Evernote for years. I think they started around 2008. I probably jumped in a little after that, 2010 maybe. I even, for a while, I paid for the premium service. It was like $25 a year.
Huh.
And I jumped on that. Yeah, it's not anymore.
Oh, how much is it now?
It's I think it's something like $5 a month, or I don't know off the top of my head. But
okay.
It's enough that I was like, yeah, I don't need it that much.
Yeah.
That was something that I looked at. Especially, yeah, starts at $7.99 a month.
Oh man, that's so
sass. It's just, yeah, I can't bite that bullet. And they caught some flack, what, 8 months ago, a year ago, when they changed up their model and limited the number of devices you could use the free version on. I think it was limited to 3. Which, you know, I think for a lot of people probably is not even remotely an issue. I kind of was like, eh, because I'll use it on my PC, of course, but I'll also use it on my tablet when I'm cooking, because I use it for recipes a lot. Or my phone, depending on what I'm juggling. I think maybe it was 2. Maybe that was the thing. I had 3 devices I wanted to use it on, but they were limited to 2. I forget the details. At any rate, they got, you know, the people didn't like it, and then they argued over it. And so it was interesting to see this come out. I think it was yesterday I saw this hit Medium. They announced they've, you know, tweaked their logo and all of this, and then they're realigning their branding to more appropriately fit the direction that they are taking the company.
So it's like, instead of an elephant, it's a dollar sign.
It is still an elephant. In fact, they showed it. It's the same elephant. Like, they changed the trunk. I don't know. if they changed this in any meaningful way, I didn't look at the side by side, but it definitely doesn't look different. They made it green.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, everybody thought the elephant was green, and the elephant was never green. It was black on green. It's green. It was a green elephant. Nobody cares. I do think it's interesting, because I have kept it. I stopped paying for it, but I do still use the free service. I still find it very useful, for particularly for organizing chunks of data like a recipe, where I've got maybe not a format, but certainly an idea behind how I want it organized and how I want to search it. And I don't know, do you use Evernote, Aaron?
No, I know plenty of people that do use it, but I've never been one of them.
What is your preference when it comes to, like, trying to, you know, keep just random bits of data collected? Then do you just kind of ad hoc it, or
Google Docs.
Google Docs.
If I have anything that's like if it's just a small bit of information, I write it down in an actual paper journal that I keep with me. If it's something lengthy, I'll spin up a Google Doc and then organize the shit out of it.
I tried that. Like, I did at one point, as a matter of fact, as a result of them changing their device limitation, I tried moving all my recipes to Google Docs, and I really hated.
Yeah, I wouldn't use Google Docs for that. Yeah, I have all my recipes are in my kitchen in paper format. A lot of them are on scraps of paper.
I think the reason I really didn't like it was because of search. With Evernote, it's easy to be like, I want to search my recipes for this. Mm. In Google Docs, you just kind of have the Omni search box.
The organization is terrible in Google Docs.
It's hard to cleanly set up a nice, like, way to just go in and be like, I want to search just these recipes and have it be good and user-friendly and easy to set up.
When I go to find our show notes, even if you've just edited them or just created them, they don't show up in my recent docs list. I have to go to Drive first and then find the Drunken UX folder and then find show notes and then find DUX. And then I can find it. It's so annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's probably because I created the document, not you. So it doesn't pick up the change date on it. So at any rate, that's why I've stuck with it. And I used it when I started using it. It was largely for work. I found it to be a great way to, like, throw code snippets together and be like, oh, I'm going to reuse this chunk of code or this CSS or something. And at one point I even kind of had a whole, like a CSS kind of starter file, and I could go into it and, like, pick, I'm going to use these classes. And then, there are better ways to do that now, of course, but and that's why I don't use it for that anymore. Hmm. But that is how I started using it. I found it interesting. They've stayed private. They haven't been bought and sold a million times like so many companies. They've rebranded, but they are supposedly cash flow positive. They've taken a ton of VC. I think when I was doing the math on it earlier, they've taken in like over $100 million in VC or something. Crazy. But I'm interested in particular in what their future looks like, because A, Google Docs, B, Google Keep, which is kind of an Evernote competitor. Certainly Microsoft OneNote. I wonder what their plan is if Google just decides, you know what, we don't want Evernote to be a thing anymore. Like two feature tweaks and they have Evernote basically already.
Google will never do that because Google is so lazy.
I don't know. Looking at Google Keep, I can kind of see that because when I saw it, I was like, oh, cool. I'm just going to start using that instead of Evernote. But I couldn't. It just wasn't good enough.
Remember when there was that running joke where all of the services were in beta? Like, they're all still in beta. It's just that the branding people have gone onto it and said, like, beta implies it's not complete yet, and we don't want to project that image. So we're just going to remove beta from all of our products. But they're still in beta.
So what I want to hear is from our listeners, I want you guys, let me know, how do you keep track of all the things now? Like, what is your approach to, you know, code snippets or recipes or travel information? I don't know. Take your pick. I'm curious to see if Evernote is still as popular with people as, because they claim like 225 million subscribers right now, which is, again, a crazy high number. Yeah. I don't know what number of that is a paying customer, but if they need to catch up to $100 million, it better be a lot of them. I can have some mad investors. But here's, and I pulled up the quote because I wanted to read this. So their CEO said this. They're like, our purpose is simple. We're here to help people focus on what matters most. That idea underlies all of our work here at Evernote, and we will never stop striving to deliver on its promise. Throughout the process of evolving our brand, we have looked to our past to inspire for our future. I mean, this just sounds so
corporate,
empty. Mm-hmm. And like going to their website and seeing, you know, the same elephant. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what it does for them, I guess, is all I can really say at this point. The elephant, do you know the elephant's name by chance? The Gary? Elephant has a name. The elephant is named Mads.
Why?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason. It's probably like at our company, we've got a mascot for Vitamin Talent. It's a cow. And it's named Vera. It wears sunglasses.
Excellent.
We haven't used it in forever, but it used to be a staple of our marketing.
That's too funny.
We sent out cow-shaped mailers that had Vera on it. So,
weird.
At any rate, maps, sort of. Anyway, we are talking this evening about weather sites. And ooh. I just kind of want to have a little pissing contest for a little bit about this.
No one really grinds my gears.
You know, I can't. That is not what Peter sounds like.
I haven't watched Family Guy in a long time.
It's like how to make a Rhode Islander sound Australian.
You know what really groins my gears?
So there are three, I think, main weather sites that most people will be familiar with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, weather.com.
Yeah.
We have AccuWeather.
Right.
And we've got Wonderground.
And Wonderground is the one that is Stanford affiliated, right?
Hell, I don't know.
I remember hearing a lot about Wonderground while reading the book about Google.
I still haven't done that yet. So
yeah.
So that's it. You said Stanford?
I think so. Yeah, I think like it's run by, or it was created by Stanford grads or whatever.
Well, yeah, that I would absolutely believe. Yeah. There and I, as we were researching for this episode, you also discovered Wonderground is actually a product of the Weather Company,
right?
Which owned the Weather Channel.
But doesn't they, anymore?
IBM bought into the Weather Company and acquired all of its assets.
Okay.
and Wonderground and mashed them together in some fashion.
Interesting.
And then sold the Weather Channel. I don't know if that... What? I don't know if that means that weather.com, the digital service, is or is not still affiliated. I didn't dig that deep into it, and it was confusing, and it hurt my brain. Because, my God, you can't tell who owns what anymore in these fields. Suffice it to say, as we go through this, it's just worth noting that Wonderground and weather.com are in cahoots to an extent. They are based on similar technology. They may still be very connected at the data level, so much at the presentation level.
I got it. I looked at the Wikipedia article. So it says, the Weather Company was previously owned by a consortium made up of the Blackstone Group, Bain Capital, Mitt Romney, and NBC Universal. That consortium sold the Weather Company's product and technology assets to IBM in 2016, but retained possession of the Weather Channel cable network until March 2018 when it sold it to Entertainment Studios.
There we go.
But when 2016 was sold off to IBM, they did a long-term license agreement with IBM for the use of the weather data and the Weather Channel name and brand.
There we go.
Yeah.
I still don't really know what that means from an ownership standpoint and certainly a data standpoint, but
yeah.
It's worth it. I think it's worth noting that only because if you are dedicated to Wonderground because it's some great Weather Channel alternative, my suspicion is that if you really dug into the numbers of the sites, they probably are highly similar.
Yeah.
If not exactly the same, because they are probably tied into the same APIs or...
It does say that it's owned by the Weather Company on Wikipedia. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there you go. So yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's the start of this conversation. Especially right now in Kansas, because it's insane here with the rain that we're getting, flash floods and humidity and rain and sun and weather. checking radar is kind of a daily habit for me. I wake up, I've got like my morning sights, and one of the things I usually hit is radar. My phone tells me what the temperature is going to be or whatever, but I like to actually look at the radar and see if there's anything on the way or whatever. And that was kind of how I started, you know, this process of using these sites. And over the years, you know, you go back, how long has weather.com been around? Probably 15 years by this point, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. They were an early domain registry, I think. I mean, how could you miss that, right?
Yeah.
Weather.com.
But over the years, as we've used these, and one of the reasons sites like AccuWeather popped up was because people were getting frustrated with the way sites like Weather.com were loading their sites down. And AccuWeather was like, hey, we're going to launch a site that's just focused on weather. and now you go to their site and it's like the same thing. And we're going to have, believe me, some interesting information.
Opinions on this.
We discovered things in preparing for this that we didn't know ahead of time. And needless to say, it only solidified my opinions. So first off, let's talk about weather.com a little bit. We'll go through, we're going to talk about the sites individually a little bit and what, you know, pisses us off about them. And then after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how we would fix some of this and what, you know, if we were to build a weather site, what it would kind of look like. And I'm going to admit, this is going to reflect our opinions on how we happen to use these sites the most. One of the challenges in looking for like user research and stuff on this was the amount that came up, of which there was a fair amount, was very focused on apps. And not the sites themselves, which was kind of unfortunate.
Right.
I had found a couple. I was like, oh, cool, this will be good. And as I started reading it, it was like talking about mobile devices and the way people interact with their widgets. I'm just like, no, that's not what I'm after.
I mean, the audiences for weather-related technology content might be primarily mobile now.
Yeah. And that is an absolutely fair and valid point, that these sites may be looking at this and say, you know what? All of our, you know, 90% of our users have actually gone to our apps now. And if, like, I think AccuWeather is the app that I use now off the top of my head. And their app is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And it does not suffer from many of the complaints that we're going to have about their websites. And it, if listeners feel strongly about this, feel free to leave us a comment. And I do think that that is a fair criticism of what we're going to say. So, you know, don't presume that we're going to be talking about this with this idea that we are absolutely right and this is how it should be done. This is just what we think. And I'll be interested just to hear if you agree or disagree. With weather.com.
Yes.
Step one, and this is true for all of them, but we'll talk about it in different ways. Guys, we got to talk about your problem with ads.
It's so many.
Oh my God.
I viewed it with ad blocker turned on, and weather.com noticed that I was using ad blocker, but was just like, gave me an eye roll when I was like, yeah, I know I'm using it. I know. But AccuWeather was like, every time you load a new page, it's like, we noticed that you viewed 7 pages now with ads turned off.
Yeah. And with weather, like just looking at their site right now above the fold, I mean, virtually, I don't know, half, give or take, I'm just eyeballing it here, but about half of the space is taken up by ads. And let me rephrase that, actually. It's not half. It's less. It's more like a quarter. But one of, and this, we'll talk about this too, but one of the news pieces is very much a clickbait article, and I'm going to call it an ad because of that.
Well, yeah, like the other portion is the ads are like not weather related. Like they're not about Weather Channel, it's third party ads. That's what we're talking about.
And that will be, you know, I mean, true anywhere, but I just, I feel like it's particularly bad in this case, especially because they're putting it above content. And I get that, you know, an ad isn't useful if people don't see it, but they're getting in the way. They're getting in the way of our experience here. So with like weather.com, here I am staring at a menu and then a house banner and then a mortgage rate sidebar and then a news panel. I mean, the only thing that I have weather related on this homepage when I first look at it is literally just the menu.
Yeah. Now, the menu is good, though.
The menu is not bad. I will grant them that. But it definitely is de-emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
Black and white is having great contrast, I guess. But it is definitely not inviting you in to be like, here is, you know, you are coming here for weather information. Here is the pieces that you need.
One thing that they do that I do like is that they were able to infer my geolocation, I think probably using JavaScript, or maybe looking at my ISP, I don't know. But they have that and the temperature right in the top corner, and the search bar is very clear on how you can search for other like locations.
Right.
They did do a really good job with that.
Yeah, and now mine's wrong. Mine is coming up through Dallas. Because Texas? Of, yeah, but I use a VPN.
Oh.
And so this tells me that I can tell you exactly how they're determining their location. They're doing it by IP address.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I do think all of these, now if I hit find me, find me does use the HTML5 location API.
For what it's worth.
So I have, you know, everybody has mixed feelings about that. I have thoughts on it from a browser level that I think needs to be changed, but I don't think people care about that now.
Right.
One thing that I love here is weather.com is guilty of this. All the other ones are going to be guilty of it too, to a degree. But weather.com is putting such an emphasis on news straight out of the gate.
Okay.
But it's not even good news. It's clickbait. It is genuine clickbait.
Do you have a trending, like the trending list of 4 videos?
Yeah.
Okay, read off what yours are. I want to hear if they're the same as mine.
Hey, hold on. Daring cross before bridge is swallowed up.
Never happened before. More than 320 killed by intense flooding.
Plane skids off runway in downpour.
Watch. Diver's selfie is about to get wild.
Yeah, and my centerpiece is bizarre blue buttons found on Florida coast.
I've got that one too.
I mean, Jesus Christ. And when I was looking at this earlier, one of the other ones that I picked up on that I wrote down was birthdays might never be the same. Party staple to be banned. I mean, and these are not ads. These are right. Like, and I clicked through. I did it because I wanted to know. I clicked the birthday one at that point. It is an actual article on the weather.com.
Wow.
It's about the environmental impact of balloons is what it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's total and complete clickbait, though.
It seems like, you remember when, remember the History Channel, when they used to actually talk about history? And then now it's like history adjacent. It seems like the news content here on the site and the others is all like weather adjacent. Like, it's all environment or natural related. And, like, there's someone in an editing room somewhere who's going, like, yeah, that's kind of, that's related to the environment. Yeah, go ahead, put it up there. Yeah.
And they don't actually give you a genuine weather tool on the homepage until you scroll down, like, almost halfway.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see that the first time.
Yeah, it's, they're weather tools. You are a weather website, weather tools. They're all the way down. And like in this case, and I think you noted this, that the title doesn't really match the purpose of the block here.
Right. It says explore your area, but it's like North America. Or it's like the United States. It's not even all of North America.
It's a big chain. It's Mexico, Southern Canada, United States. It knows I'm in Dallas. So my area is the Southern U.S. you're not showing me my area. You're showing me most of my continent.
Right.
I mean,
do you see the stuff in the sidebar adjacent to the explore area? It has fan photos. And so the fan photos thing says upload your amazing weather photos and videos now.
Oh, I don't get that.
You don't see that one?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, I do.
I've got more ads. You're looking to the right of it?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Maybe scroll down a little bit. Maybe yours got bumped down. I don't have ads turned on.
I have our photo gallery pics.
Hmm.
I have nothing about submitting photos anywhere.
Weird. Well, this one says stay up to date, and then it has that and a couple other things. I like the idea of, like, user-submitted content of weather, because there are some really cool, like, weather things that people take photos of, but...
I love shooting, like, lightning. I take my camera out, and that's because it's hard. It's really hard to get good lightning shots.
It just doesn't seem like this, the right medium for that seems like it would be, like, Instagram or something else, or just having a gal, like, maybe show it more prominently. I don't know.
There's so many ads. Like,
yeah.
So many. So here's one. There are three Hertz ads, and they're the exact same. I've got three Hertz ads at the bottom of this page.
Yeah, I don't see
any. And they're literally the same ad. Then I've got a panel that's from ZergNet, which I'm looking at this in incognito. I actually run custom CSS and JavaScript in Chrome to get rid of ZergNet. Then I've got a banner. Then I've got two chunks of content recommended. I don't know why it's recommended. Recommended for what? I don't know. Then there's another banner.
My recommended ones say incredible bridges to see in every state. And then is your home's electricity safe? 5 things to check.
Spring
allergy capitals. Which city ranks the worst?
You're right. No, you're right. There is a stay up to date panel next to explore your area.
Yes.
I literally could not see it because that registered as an ad to me.
Oh,
because the thing above it is an ad, and it has the little bar that says advertisement, and then that starts. And because of the way those are laid in there, and each of them is like sponsored by State Farm, sponsored by Flonase, sponsored or in partnership with Toyota.
Yeah.
I didn't even process those as actual navigation of any kind.
Product managers, read up on ad blindness.
That's funny because I just didn't even, you were describing it to me as I was staring at it. I couldn't see it.
Stick that in your Evernote.
That's just bizarre. Let me ask this to the audience too.
Yeah.
If you go to a weather website, what is your primary number one goal for most of you? And my guess is it is to get some kind of immediate weather information about your location.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go over this over and over. Like, I know content is king. I know that phrase. And I know it's important for these weather websites to lean on generating all of this weather-related content to give them SEO value and because they need stuff. I get that. But is that really the number one goal of the people who are coming to these sites? And I get, as we said, you know, maybe a lot of those people now use your apps. Mm-hmm. If so, I guess maybe fair enough. Some of us don't, and some of us will never understand that necessarily. So that's weather.com. What else did we have on there?
I will say, I did write some notes down here. The on the nav options, I know we mentioned that they did the menu well. When you look at the today view, it does actually show content. Like, basically, the homepage should be the today view. That actually has some legitimately useful stuff in it. Again, it's inferring your location. So, but if that's wrong, it's actually quite easy to change it, thankfully.
Yeah.
But it shows like the map and everything else and like your forecast for the next like 24, 48 or 36 hours. It's good stuff. Like that's actually useful. Yeah. They do the weather in motion when you look at the maps specifically. But the hamburger menu in the top right corner, I can only imagine, like, this was the compromise where, like, the web developer was meeting with, like, you know, the executives or whatever, and they're like, we need to have this content on the site. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, well, we'll just stick it up in the hamburger menu.
Yeah. There's so, literally no way to know what is in that menu. Like, the health section is up there. It's not anywhere else, apparently.
It's a section called videos and photos, which has top stories, video, crazimals, news.
Oh, crazimals. I saw that on the homepage. One of the news panels was for crazimals. Crazimals? I don't know. Why? You are a professional weather website. Why is that the name of a category that you are promoting?
The whole videos and photos, and then also the TV. I guess TV category makes sense because they do have the TV channel. Yes. I get that. But the videos and photos category, like, do you really, I mean, is that content actually important to include? I mean, the other sections are like weather, and there's like six items, and then maps, there's four items, severe, six items. And then there's like activities and health, and the health has like allergy tracker and cold and flu. Like, those seem useful. But this reminds me of, remember when everyone tried to make their website like one-stop shop? Like we're going to come to our website, you're going to hang out. We're going to have a chat feature, and we're going to have the weather, and we're going to have news, and we're going to have stock prices. And like everyone's trying to be Yahoo. And I think some people just aren't with the times on that.
Yeah. This is pure dumping ground syndrome. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yes.
It's exactly. We need somewhere to put everything where we can hide it. And so we're going to put it in the menu.
Yeah. If it's so unimportant that you can put it into the menu and not be adversely affected, do you really need it at all? Like, right. What happens if you just go do an A/B test where half your users aren't shown that option at all? I'd be really curious to see how much it affects it.
And they actually have one feature on here that I would use more heavily to fix some of this, which is the little settings icon. And if you click into the settings, you can go in there. There's no like useful settings in there at all, really. But there could be. You have settings that would like store user preferences about whether or not they care about your content, for instance. Or, you know, are you here for weather-related information or are you here for forecasts? And customize your presentation. Nice. Set up personas for those people. Because by God, you should damn well have them.
This seems, and AccuWeather is worse about this, we'll get to that in a minute, but this seems like the content is being driven by how can we generate revenue rather than what do our users want to see. And if I am wrong, if there are there's data that shows people actually want to consume content on weather.com of this nature, I will stand corrected, but show me. I don't believe it.
Let's take a quick break. We'll do the whole refill our glasses, everything. We are going to come back and we're going to talk about AccuWeather and we're going to talk about Wonderground. And then we'll look at some of our ideas and go from there. How does that sound? I think I like
sounds
the
great.
Okay, like let's do that. And we'll see you back here in about 60 seconds. The Drunken UX podcast is brought to you by our friends at New Cloud. Are you trying to build a case around an interactive map for your school, city, or business? NewCloud's interactive map platform gives you the power to make and edit a custom interactive map in just minutes. Their team of professional cartographers specialize in map illustrations and are ready to design a rendering to fit your exact needs. One map serves all your users' devices with responsive maps that scale and blend in seamlessly with your website. Visit them online to request a demo at nucloud.com/drunkenUX. That's nucloud.com/drunkenUX. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Drunken UX podcast. You are listening to episode number 17 of the show. We are talking about weather websites and what we hate about them and what we would do to make them better. And we just finished talking about weather.com. And next up on our list is hitting on AccuWeather.
AccuWeather.
I will admit I use their app and I do like their weather app on mobile devices a lot, and like their widgets are really nice and relatively clean. I do remember now though, after sitting down over the break and looking at stuff, I do have the ad-free version of it. I did, because I use like that. Well, I didn't pay for it, but I use that Google Rewards app where they send you surveys and you answer a survey and you get 19 cents. And so it adds up over time, and I use that to get like the
you paid for it just
I
with
paid
surveys.
For it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But as a result, my experience is maybe not what other people would have with it, but I do like it. I will give them full credit for that. And it goes back to something we emphasized in the first half here of the show, that we understand that a lot of these weather website users, their core user base is probably migrating more to mobile devices and mobile apps than using their main web pages, which I think is a little bit of a reflection of why we see some of these changes we are, but not entirely. I'm not giving them a full pass on that because I don't completely believe that that's true. At any rate, on to AccuWeather, AccuWeather.com. Again, straight out of the bat, my God, I am just hammered with Claret ads.
Even with AccuWeather really like grills it to you that it knows you're using an ad blocker and it tries to guilt you. But even with ad blocker running, it's still like all kinds of non-local weather related. It didn't even get my locality right. It thinks I'm in like Liverpool, which is near Syracuse.
So here is Buffalo. Something super weird. It got my location right.
Did it?
And it got my location right in incognito with a VPN running. So I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they pulled that one off, frankly.
Mine is looking at my ISP because my ISP trunk that I'm connecting through, I don't have a VPN running right now. But my main trunk is up in Syracuse here. So...
Yeah, I mean, mine would show Texas still, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird. Session cookie, maybe? I don't know.
I'm in incognito. I don't know.
Oh, have you used AccuWeather before?
Well, not in incognito.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, I've used it before, but... maybe I'm just sitting here, I'm staring at... Maybe I actually did plug it in at one point and I've just forgotten. That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking scotch tonight, but you know, the angry orchards, they do add up after a little while. I would accept that answer, I guess. Let's blame me more than them, maybe. That might be more fair. I definitely... I'm looking... It's interesting. They take the same basic approach to their locations as weather.com does. It's straight up on top. They use this sort of little badge kind of add-on. But their search bar isn't as obvious. It does have a quick complete kind of feature that pops up, but weather.com, you know, had the deal like put in your zip or city name or whatever. It's just kind of, you just have to go for it. And if you browse for your location, then it takes you away from the page entirely. So that's not awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have here? We have settings. But their settings are just for language and temperature style. Which, Okay, I do understand, but at the same time, temperature style is highly reflective of location, and so I think they can, and they maybe they do, if they don't know, obviously, they probably default to whatever the region default is. I think that's probably a safe assumption.
Are you talking about Fahrenheit versus Celsius?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, yeah. If I just punched in London without having told it anything else, it would probably default to Celsius, I'm guessing.
I'm curious.
But they don't have anything else, and we, like I mentioned on weather.com,
they do not.
Oh, they don't. Okay,
it says Fahrenheit still. Yeah.
But they don't have any settings regarding, you know, saying I prefer weather.com or weather, you know, information. I prefer weather content. Like, there's nothing along those lines. Yeah, there's no other. Let me remove ads, you know. Let me pay you $1 a month to remove ads. That's
well, no, they do that. If you have ad blocker turned on, it says you can either allow ads or you can buy an ad removal pass, or if you just click the X, it just hides the notice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm intentionally running it in incognito so I get the the full experience. Now, I do see they have got it in the footer, AccuWeather Premium, which I'm guessing is probably that. I'm not sure that I need weather data that badly.
So I looked at, like, their corporate site, and one of the things that seemed, like, AccuWeather is named as such because they seem to feel that their product has superior accuracy with regard to weather forecasting.
Right.
They take that very seriously per their brand.
And for what it's worth, that is kind of why I also chose their app, not just because it's nice, but because I do feel subjectively like it is maybe more accurate than others.
Yeah.
My guess is they probably do the same thing a lot of places do now, which is they take the NOAA forecast, the official government NOAA forecast, and then combine it with all the various regional forecasts and then come out with some kind of normalized, you know, average of all of those. Have you read Nate Silver's book, The Signal and the Noise?
No.
I'll link it in the show notes. Just fantastic book. Absolutely fantastic. Nate Silver's the guy that does 538.
Right.
And he's got a whole section in the book just about weather forecasting and why it's so hard. And but also why local weather forecasts tend to be more accurate than, like, national ones.
Pure variables, right?
It's not actually, because your local, you know, down the road television station, they're not coming up with the weather forecast on their own. They're getting the NOAA forecast. They're getting the official government report, but then they are adding their own information on top of it and their own experience and knowledge of the region. So that's why I'm saying, like, you start. It's a kind of a Bayesian slash, you know, you have more data to work. You just have more data to work with. And so you come out with a more accurate view. And I would be interested to see. I don't know what AccuWeather's process is, but my guess is it probably relies heavily on that idea of let's figure out a way to take as many forecasts as we can get on regions and mash them together to come out with the quote unquote truth.
I would say that this site does a lot more content fluff, content with the intent of keeping you on the site longer. So it seems like they're prioritizing that particular metric, like the bounce rate, because they have a lot of articles, they have a lot of videos, stuff that's like weather adjacent, like the other site. But I mean, if you want to get like your forecast, I'm not sure specifically where you go. There's radar and maps. There's climate, but the climate section is actually just about climate change. I don't know where you would click to find out, like, the forecast, like 10-day forecast.
Yeah, and I mean, click around, you'll figure out it's on the location panel.
Oh, really? I actually didn't find it.
Yeah, the down arrow next to the location is where all of that is.
Oh, wow. Holy crap. I did not see that.
Yeah, so they've taken, like, those local weather components that weather.com puts in the bar, and they've hidden it behind the local.
See, if they would just make, like, if that... Okay, so what he's talking about, I just did this. It's a down arrow, You click on the down arrow and it brings up a popover menu, what, maybe 250, 300 pixels high, expands the full width of the page, and it has recent locations and the current forecast, and it has links to all the stuff. Why can't that just be the top of the page?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And clicking the down arrow next to my location, mm-hmm. why am I seeing New York and Miami and Los Angeles in there? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I expect my information, my location stuff, not places that have nothing to do with me. Yeah, right. Looking at their homepage again, we've got the same basic problem where weather information is one panel. And not just above the fold. On the entire homepage, there is only one panel that is weather data. Then you have trending news, trending videos, trending now, because, of course, live feed.
I would be willing to concede that people go to these sites to look at weather-related news or weather-adjacent data, but I would say that the primary reason anyone is going to these sites is going to be for weather information.
Yeah.
Because if you want news, you just go to a news site.
Right. Yeah, that's my thinking is I've never just sat around and thought, man, you know what would sound good right now? Reading about some flash floods. I mean, right. Yeah, I guess if it was... Let's say the Hawaii volcano thing. Like, I could mm-hmm. see that, maybe. That was big news. But, yeah. You know, this stuff...
Or, like, the California wildfires. Like I could see making that, like, a breaking news kind of thing on the page. That's something I would actually go to a weather site to find out about.
There's a video of that. It's 3/4 of the way down the page, though.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
It's
not even highlighted. It's just like in a feed of videos.
Yeah. Oh, and now I see too, under their trending videos, there is a carousel. And if you've not heard my opinion on carousels, let me tell you, we'll have a conversation about it sometime. But first thing I'm noticing is it's actually got repeated content in it. That's a thing that's happening here. At any rate, my favorite one right now that I'm looking at is we've got a bear in the car.
What? Where is that? I saw that in the notes, but I didn't see it on the page.
Yeah, it may have scrolled off at this point because it was when I was looking at it earlier. But okay. Yeah, that was a trending now post. We've got a bear in the car. That was the headline. I mean,
what does that have to do with weather? That's not even climate related.
No, it wasn't. And I did click through it to check. It wasn't. It was about the sheriff who came up. The bear got in the car at a park and he shot a beanbag at the back window so it could get out of the car. I mean, guys, what?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. You get no pass for that. That is there useless is, content.
I mean, especially with the climate things going on, there is, I'm going to call it interesting. It sounds more positive than I think some of them are, but interesting or useful or current weather-related news and content out there that you could use. And I mean, it would be fine. Like, there's hurricanes and earthquakes and like the lightning strikes the planet every like 3 times a second or 13 times a second or something like that. Like weather's happening everywhere all the time. Why do you need bears?
And here's the other problem with this is
balloons at birthday parties.
It's one thing to say, you know what? We believe our users are coming to the site for this content. Okay, fine. Then do it well because they're not even doing that well. Trending news is a panel with two headlines in it.
Team up to pull car away from massive sinkhole.
Yeah, read the second one.
Rescue dogs playing in their wheelchairs will make your day. Yeah, that.
That
why?
Is the second headline in trending news at the top of the page.
Yeah.
Then you've got a trending video. A trending video that A, autoplayed, and B, autoplayed with sound. And there's no headline on it. There's no summary under it. What am I supposed to do with that? What's the difference between trending news and trending now?
Yeah.
Why do I need three trending sections? And then why do I have a live feed down below after that?
Oh, and, we got a bear in a car still there. I see it now.
Oh, did you find it?
Yes.
Nice. and let's talk a little bit about this national live feed here that we've got going on. Because it's got buttons on top. You've got latest, you've got videos, you've got news, you've got blogs. Okay.
Wait, where is this? Where are you looking?
National live feed.
How do I get to that?
It's about halfway down the page.
Oh, I found it. Okay.
Yeah. So, A, we've already got news everywhere on this page at this point, so I don't know why we're doing it again here. If you look, I looked through this thing, because something just, it looked repetitive to me, and I'm like, you've got latest, you've got videos, you've got news, you've got blogs. And as I looked through it, I was like, yes, I've got news, I've got videos. There were a total of 16 items in this list. It's huge, and it takes up over half the page. It runs all the way to the bottom of the page at that point. There isn't a single blog post actually in that list. Now, if you click the button, you will get blogs. But right. There aren't any in that latest news feed even. They're not producing enough of them to make them be there.
Weather is a very localized thing. You know, there's when you're wanting to find information about the weather, whether it's your locality or when you're going to, or which one you're concerned about, it's going to be localized. And they have all this news and other things for things happening all around the world. And I'm not saying international weather doesn't matter, but it should, like, it seems to just like, oh, you're interested in weather? Here's everything ever about weather. And I don't think that that's particularly useful. I mean, I don't want to just see random news items. I'd like to see, you know, topic focused or locality focused. I don't know. It seems very lazy.
And this isn't on the homepage. And I've been kind of trying to focus on just the homepages of these sites, but I do want to mention their radar. Because one thing that I've always knocked AccuWeather for is when you click like into your location or whatever and hit their radar, I mean, it looks like something out of like 1998.
It is old.
It is the old style, old looking style anyway.
It's like the kind you would see on the color television when you're watching the it has the emergency broadcast.
And it's constrained. They've got this two column layout that's like a 2/3 split, and they have constrained the radar to this tiny box. In the wider column, I guess, thanks, instead of, I'm here for the radar. Why is that? And
weather.com does. The layout shows all the trending stuff.
When you click into weather.com's radar, you get a full page.
Right.
Here is your radar. Thank us later. But AccuWeather is just like, no, you get a postage stamp. Enjoy.
I understand putting trending stuff on the homepage because it's current. The homepage is constantly changing, etc. But when you're drilling down into specific content, like if someone clicks at radar and maps, guess what they want to see about?
I have not identified trending. My purpose. Right. I am pursuing a goal. I want to accomplish the task that I am doing.
Yes.
And you are accomplishing it the way like there's the old meme from like somebody's math test where it's like
find X.
It's like a, you know, like a 2X plus 3Y squared, expand this equation. And so they just like, they like stretched it out and just added space to it. Like, this is how it's like, okay, you kind of got what we were going for here, but you didn't really think about this in the way we wanted you to. So the third site that we got is Wonderground. Which I know for Aaron, he has written love letters to this place, and I'm a little concerned, but Wonderground is round number three, and one of the most immediate first things that I do like about
Before we get to that, I want to say a correction. I did look this up during the break. They're based in San Francisco, and they were founded in 95 as an offshoot of University of Michigan, not Stanford. Okay. I don't think they actually have a Stanford link, so I stand corrected.
And the name is a reference to the 1960s militant radical student group, the Weather Underground.
I wondered about that. I don't know why the student group is called the Weather Underground.
Okay. There's your weird fact for the day. So they, though, do the thing immediately that I would want as a user.
Yeah.
Here's my location. It's telling me my conditions, my current, you know, temperature, and the next few hours worth of forecast. And it's like right there, top of the page.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And it's pretty damn accurate, too.
It's also surrounded by two giant banner ads, but at least they're trying.
Oh, if you have ads turned off, the site is actually really great. I don't have the ad above the menu, nor do I have the ad to the right.
Yeah, I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
they don't get credit for something we did. That doesn't, I'm not going there.
Well, I mean, like, AccuWeather still looked like shit, even with ads turned off.
Now,
like, the layout was still poor.
They are the lightest of the three in terms of mm-hmm. content. Their content is very weather-focused.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the five that I'm seeing have, like, actual weather maps on them, so that's nice. Yep. So, you know, at least visually it's implying that they are talking about weather, not, like, other things. The bottom of the page is two giant rows of ads. Zergnet is mm-hmm. making another appearance here. And then they've got a little chunk about, you know, their footer links and everything.
I will say that all the ad, like all the trending news on this site, like the what I'm seeing is what to expect this fall, hail damage, cold front, hurricane season, and then rising seas like ruining a town.
Yeah.
Like they're all like very specifically weather oriented. And I appreciate that because that, and there's only five items total. So it's very, they're doing more with less.
It's definitely ugly though. Like,
yeah.
I don't love the layout. And it, from a responsive point of view, like there are some breakpoints where like the sidebar ad actually reflows linearly. And so you end up with a sidebar ad that is by itself in a content block. So it's pushing everything else like way, way down the page. Now at pure mobile size,
yeah,
don't hate it.
They did I have ads turned off, but it looks like the breakpoints are, they did a pretty good job. They're at least aware, they're breakpoint aware.
Yeah, I mean,
ads might munge it, but yeah.
And you know, we didn't talk about that with weather.com or AccuWeather. I kind of played around with it a little bit at one point. You know, weather.com basically gets, you know, gets the picture. AccuWeather, not as great. Actually, I'm going to take that back. They simply aren't great at all. Like, AccuWeather isn't responding for me even a little bit, so.
One thing I like about Wonderground's homepage is the, like the other two sites, you know, they infer your locality, and then they tell you, like, the temperature. And it's, like, useful information, but Wonderground really goes an extra mile. They have a 24-hour like timeline, so 12 a.m. to 12 a.m., and then it shows like every 3 hours, it looks like. It shows an icon for the weather. It shows it shows the sun out at 12 a.m., and I think they just mean it's not cloudy.
Yeah. But they show a crescent moon at 8 p.m.
Weird. But so, they show the sun at midnight. Well, whatever.
I don't know what to make of that.
But they do show, they show a green dot on that timeline to show you where you are currently on that. And then it shows all the ones trailing behind it. So you can see what the weather is like the rest of the day. It might be cool if it was rolling like the next 12 hours or whatever. But it's still kind of a neat thing because it makes it feel like it's more contemporary.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then they have, go ahead.
Definitely some iconography issues there.
Yeah, they have two giant buttons. They have one, it's like a primary button scheme. It says full forecast, and then one that says, for me anyways, it says more about today's rain. And it's interesting.
That's contextual, because I don't have that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that must be contextually aware.
That, to me, like, I know that we said content is king. I still think that context is king. I think that with the abundance of information we have, the more contextually aware you can get with your content, the better it's going to be.
Now, they have fixed something here that weather.com did get wrong, in my opinion. Wonderground has maps and radar.
Yeah.
Weather.com just has maps. And to me, a weather map is not the same as radar. And if I'm looking for radar, which in my case, I always am, I like looking at radars, I don't immediately look for them under maps. Usually I view it as its own kind of separate thing. So Wonderground made the right choice in saying maps and radar. They made the wrong choice because there are three different options you can go into that are all radars. And
you only see three. I see seven.
Well, no, I see seven options.
Okay.
But three of them are radars. You have radar maps, you have interactive radar, and you have Wonder Map. And those are all things that can get you.
Oh, Wonder Map is rare.
And,
okay.
And they treat it differently in all of them. That I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't need that many answers. I need the best one. Give me the best one. Stop. Don't. Why would you give me the postage stamp radar? That's stupid.
Instead of having it expanded to a menu and then having to choose one, I have no idea what to pick. So I just picked the first one last time. It would be cool if the maps and radar took you to a page that had the listing or maybe like thumbnails of all the different kinds with like previews or something. I don't know. Just something to show you more about what each of them is.
Yeah, I think we need to get rid of, like, if you go to the first option there, that's, what is it, radar maps is just what it's called. Yeah. Like, we just need to get rid of that view entirely. That view is not useful. It's not helpful. Not to a normal user.
Right.
I don't need an animate button or anything. I need Wonder Map.
Right.
I need Wonder Map. And...
Is Wonder Map the one that shows... Oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
And
Wonder Map is so cool.
It's so cool, but it also gets so much wrong, because when you go to Wonder Map, what's the first thing you see?
Oh, San Francisco.
And wind and temperature. Like, is that really the most important layer on that map?
What I wish they would show right away, because I think it's the coolest, is Windstream. It reminds me of what are those called? Slope fields and differential equations, where it has like a graph chart with all the arrows on it. Oh, it's so neat because it has all the little particles that are like moving, so you can see like where the I don't know. It's super cool. Go check it out. It's really neat.
Yeah, I like Wonder Map. I think it is cool, but I do think that it's doing so much. And my concern is, and I have a similar concern with the others, which is this idea that I think they are getting away from function and going towards content more. Wonder Map, you know, when you click on it, it sends you to Wonder Map. And it's like completely removed from the Weather Underground context. You can go to wondermap.com and get there. They've set up a domain. It's a redirect domain, but they have spun that off to its own complete thing. Wonder Map is very similar to weather.com's big interactive map that they use now. But like, unlike these other ones, like weather.com, they've just said, our big map is the map for everything. We're not going to give you the small, weird, rendered, you know, GIF or something like that. We don't think you need that. We're just going to show you a beautiful map with stuff overlaid on it. And I think that's 100% the right approach. But there's like, they aren't trying to spin it off. It's still in the same context of their header and footer and all, not footer, I'm sorry, but their header and navigation, is all still there. Wonder Map isn't. It gives me a little bit of concern that their idea is, well, we're just going to push Wonder Map off eventually and it's going to be its own thing. And then we're going to be stuck with, still three different map formats for some reason. Nobody needs that. Nobody needs three map formats.
I found on the Windstream, I found a point on the very eastern side of Lake Ontario where all of my Windstream points are converging, like in Ghostbusters 2 when they're looking at the slime rivers and it's all converging on the art museum.
Folks, we're losing him. We're losing him. He's getting sucked into the tool.
I don't know how that is useful, but it looks really cool.
Okay, fine. They did a great job making it. You can go play with it now. I want to talk about, before we end for the night, I want to talk about what we can do to make this stuff better, because there's no point in griping about some of this without addressing that. First things first, weather.com and Wonderground. You're both okay in this area. Weather.com, when I was profiling these sites earlier, Weather.com made 600 requests, 600,
Jesus.
And was 4 megabytes in size. Wonderground was fewer. It was 524 requests, but it was 4.2 megabytes in size. Virtually all of that was ad content. And it's just a lot of back and forth and a lot of wait. When you look at weather.com's homepage now, there's nothing there. It's little postage stamp sized pictures, and I see one animated GIF. Like, there should be no weight to this page, basically, the way it looks. All of that weight is all the extra crap that doesn't need to be there. Wonderground, actually, to me, is even worse because of that, because they do have their page is super simple. They don't have anything. The only thing sort of interactive-y is that is the local weather panel that comes up on the top, because it does have like a little animation when it comes in. It's probably just all like little SVG type stuff. But the rest of it, and it's like Zergnet, man, screw these guys. Because like they push through giant unoptimized pictures in their ads, that, you know, a ton of JavaScript tracking and stuff that's almost all of that weight. I should have profiled them without ads on, but I didn't. AccuWeather is another story. So let me tell you a story. Let's go on a trip, shall we? I wanted to see what AccuWeather, how big it was. So I opened up Chrome, opened up Incognito, opened up the network panel, and started running it. And then I flipped over to the let me back up. I didn't do that first. The first thing I did was I went to the performance profiler tool and I started it. And then my laptop crashed. I thought that was weird. So I did it again. I am not a smart man. And it didn't crash my laptop this time, but it did crash Chrome. And I thought, what the hell? I mean, my laptop's not super strong, but it's got an i7 in it. It's not a slouch. So I went to my desktop, and I pulled it up here, and I ran the profile. It ran. It never finished. I waited about 6 minutes. It didn't finish. And the browser was frozen while it was all happening. Like, AccuWeather didn't load. So I shut that down. Finally, so now I switched to just the network panel and loaded it. Here's what I got from AccuWeather. Guys, I've never seen this. I have never seen a site like this. I waited 4 minutes for AccuWeather to finish loading. It didn't. It made 4,000 requests, and the entire page load was 60 megabytes in that 4 minutes of time. I was looking through like what all that weight was. One of those was a commercial, a whole MP4 downloaded. I couldn't find it anywhere on the page, though. Like, I don't know where they put that video. All I know is it downloaded. I am mystified as to how somebody will build...
How big was the video?
Like 5 megs.
Oh, okay.
We're still talking another 55 megs of JavaScript, of images. Jesus. And virtually every ounce of that was ad network, all the ad networks running, and they would run, and I was watching the little network panel go, and you would see, like, as the page started loading, you would see item, 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 and then it's like Attack of the Butterfly. What's that? The song.
Yeah.
Flight
of the Bumblebee.
Flight of the Bumblebee. It's like the network panel just goes nuts as all of these ad networks are just like, here, take it. And turn it, block ads. It was like 3 megs. It was nothing. It was tiny. If we want to make weather sites better, you guys have got to realize that you have a problem. AccuWeather needs rehab, frankly. But even weather.com and Wonderground, like 4 megs is too much, especially if you're going to make the argument to me that a lot of your users are going to mobile apps and mobile devices, 4 megs is too much, and it is definitely too much for what I see on your screen. No excuse.
I would give you that it's too much for what you see on the screen. I don't know that it's too much, period. It depends on what you're loading. What do you use that 4 megs for? If you're using it for, like, maps, like, images have detail, I don't know, especially if they're in motion.
Given
but
the size of those pages with an ad blocker turned on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that tells you exactly how much you need versus what is there. And right. It's, I can tell you right now, it's not 4 megs. That's right. It's just not necessary. Here, we're gonna test real.
I think if you look at the kind of information people want to come to your site for, they want to come to your site, you know, for weather and other information. That should just be text, CSS, and a couple images at best.
Yeah. So here, and I'm real world testing this right now as you're listening to the podcast. Okay. I pulled up weather.com on my screen. With ad blocker turned on, 93 requests, 972 kilobytes.
Wow.
It's less than a quarter of the size. Brilliant. So it quadruples the size of the page running ads.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, that's unacceptable. That's the only name
you,
I can use.
You know how when you go to the store and the things that they think people want, or maybe they have the low profit margins, like the clearance rack or whatever, they're always in the back corners. So you have to go through the rest of the store to get to them. That's kind of what they're doing here. They know that people want to see the weather, and so they make it harder to find because they put it behind all the other crap that people don't want to see, because it gives them ad clicks, I guess, or maybe ad impressions.
Yeah.
But that's just, I miss the internet when it, like, before that. Can we go back to an internet where it's not, like, monetization is a concern, but not the primary concern? Is that naive?
It's a business model. It's definitely a business model problem. And I don't know what the solution to that is. I'm not going to solve that here. But it's definitely the, at the very least, there are better ways to do ads. Let's just say it that way, at the very least. I like Wonderground's approach to local weather and how they present it right at the top. I think that's smart.
Yeah, definitely.
I want some, if you're going to give me a national map, give it to me underneath that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know what? This is what weather.com does. They've got their little, or not weather.com, AccuWeather, has their little panel. And, you know, it's better than nothing. Granted, give me that. We have to sort out the content problem, and I get it. I know that this is important for SEO, and I'm sure you got to have people using it. People must be reading it. There has to be a justification for the amount of man hours that goes into it. Although my guess is most of this content is not generated by these sites. It's from other places. I have no doubt.
I did look. The climate section on AccuWeather is actually written by their staff, and it's written mostly by meteorologists and other scientists. So I'll give them props there for at least putting OC on that.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm clicking into a few here now, and I see it saying AccuWeather staff writer. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess, you know, if you're gonna generate your own content, or if you're gonna have content generate your own, that's certainly, I think, the way to go about it. But
I give them props for that.
We need a better presentation model for it, though. Right now weather.com and AccuWeather are just vomiting it basically all over their front pages.
Another way to look at that is if your content is not interesting enough that you have to put it before the content users want to see in order to get them to see it, then maybe you shouldn't be showing that content at all. You know what I mean?
I think there's a quantity issue too. Like, let's talk about AccuWeather. I mentioned that live feed had 16 items in it. That's too many. Like, and that's just one of the panels. Above it is a carousel with 6 items. Then you've got sidebars with another 2 items. You've got a headline section with 2 items. I don't even know why you waste your time with that, frankly. There's so much. How much of this content do you actually expect people to consume?
So AccuWeather ostensibly has a good product, right? Like that's what the corporate site says, is they have an accurate weather forecasting product that has a lot of tech behind it that they are very proud of. And I think that's great. So why isn't the website connecting users more directly with that product?
You know what I want to see?
It's getting...
Sorry, I'm sorry interrupting you.
Fine.
You know what I want to see on AccuWeather? If they're going to sit here and make, you know, these kinds of claims, that, hey, we've got the best super accurate forecast engine on the planet.
Yeah.
I want to see something about that on the homepage. I want to see like I don't know what it would look like necessarily, but number of days with forecasts that were within 5%.
Oh, that would be cool.
Like, and I don't know how you do that with all the data points that are involved, but give me if that's true and you can prove it, then show it to me and make me a believer, because nobody else can show me that apparently.
You know what would also be really cool is, and this would be really great original content, is showing those like stat comparisons in hindsight, and then showing not a mea culpa, but just like kind of on some of them where it was just way off, and then seeing like a description of like, well, this is what we were predicting, but this is what actually happened, and this is why it was so far off. That would be interesting.
I agree. I think that would be interesting because that's what literally everybody talk about when they talk about weather forecasts.
How bad it is.
They get pissed off because it's never right.
Yeah.
And so selling the fact that you can be maybe not right, but accurate to, you know, an acceptable margin. And then that idea of explaining why you aren't, I think that'd be killer.
I would totally
watch
that.
You would have
that.
To do it for every single city or something. But in general, like, especially on big stuff, I'd love to see it on hurricane predictions.
Yeah.
You know, and when you see like all those tracks and they say, okay, you know what? We think it's going to hit Florida and it still ends up, you know, hitting New York or something. Cool.
Right,
give us
a
whole breakdown on why that forecast went wrong.
You know, what would be a great, if you want to increase your user engagement, you know, it would be great is having, showing the raw data that your people are using for forecasting. And then having a thing where users can sign in and make their own forecasts based on the data. So everyone has access to the same data, but everyone can make forecasts and then assigning points based on accuracy.
Fantasy forecasting. That's what you're going to pitch me, fantasy forecasting?
Would you not do it?
No,
you would do it.
The sad part is I honestly believe
totally
people
would
do it.
They totally would.
100% believe. And now that you've said it, okay, here we are. I got to Google it now. fantasy. I'm typing in fantasy weather forecasts, and you know what it's going to give me is like D&D weather forecasting.
Probably. I think people would do that. In fact, I kind of want to do it myself.
No, I don't see any immediate results that look like that's what it is. Yahoo has a fantasy weather forecast, but it's a component of their fantasy football.
That doesn't count.
No, it's meant to help you choose which players you're going to start. Dude, build it.
I'd love to see that. That would be super cool.
I think you've got a winner.
Providing that info and then
hire the people who are at the top of the leaderboards.
I mean, like, that could be an easy way to, like, consider people for hiring, I guess. You could give out prizes. I mean, there's all sorts of, like, promotional and monetization-friendly ways that you could use this that get people engaged and involved in weather forecasting.
Man, we didn't, or I said we weren't going to solve the ad problem, but I think you just did.
I think we just did, yeah.
I don't think we can end anywhere better than that.
Ads are lazy.
Ads are lazy.
They're lazy monetization, and so is like throwing shit content in there, like filling out a website with just random content. That's if that's your strategy, like I don't know, stop.
And so many of these ads, they really are lazy too. Like they have, they aren't even like good remarketing ads on some of these.
It says to me that you don't actually care about the content or your users or your user experience. You just want to put stuff up there because it's what everyone's doing. And I think you can do better. I expect better of these sites, especially if you have a name with like weather in the domain name.
Yeah.
Is fantasyweather.com available?
I don't know. I'm not going to help you build it, though. I got enough going on. Folks, let us know what you think. What would you do to fix weather sites? Do you like them the way they are? Are we totally off base? Do people really go to weather sites to read all the weird content they put out there? Is that what you go there for? I'd love to actually know and hear about that because, you know, if we're off base, we're off base, and that's okay. But let us know. I'd like to hear what you'd do differently. Do you even bother? Do you just use apps now? Is a weather app the exclusive way most people are handling this?
FantasyWeather.com is registered.
Yeah, see? Good. keeps you from getting too deep into that. let us know. Run by the show notes at DrunkenUX.com. And you can tell us all about your opinions on weather. The Drunken UX Podcast is brought to you by our friends at NewCloud. NewCloud is an industry-leading interactive map provider who has been building location-based solutions for organizations for a decade. Are you trying to find a simple solution to provide your users with an interactive map of your school, city, or business? Well, NewCloud's interactive map platform gives you the power to make and edit a custom interactive map in just minutes. They have a team of professional cartographers who specialize in map illustrations of many different styles and are ready to design an artistic rendering to fit your exact needs. One map serves all of your users' devices with responsive maps that are designed to scale and blend in seamlessly with your existing website. To request a demonstration or to view their portfolio, visit them online at nucloud.com/drunkenUX. That's nucloud.com/drunkenUX. So, thanks for listening to the Drunken UX podcast this week. This was episode number 17. We talked about weather stuff. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you found it entertaining and fun. This is a little bit different format that we did that we might do a little more often where we just pick a few sites of a certain type and kind of look at them as we're talking and talk about what we don't like and what we would do differently. If you want to follow us online, you can go check out facebook.com or twitter.com/DrunkenUX. You follow us so we send stuff out, we ask questions, we get information, or hit us up on drunkenux.com/Slack. That will redirect you to our Slack channel because we are smart people and we know how website redirects work.
Be sure to also tune in to Real Time Overview every Wednesday, and you should check it out if you don't.
I think that is a clear cut good idea, no matter how you slice it.
I just registered fantasyweather.org.
Oh my god. Well, I guess folks, do I have any lawyers listening? Since he's doing this on my show as my co-host,
can I
claim a certain degree of ownership over that? I don't know. I guess
I'll split it with you. You gonna help?
No, I'm not gonna help. Kidding me?
I think you'll want to get in on it once I make it.
To work for money. With that, folks, I can only leave you with one other piece of advice, and that is to keep your personas close and your users closer.